A Restless Truth by Freya Mask, read by Aisha Kala. For everyone everywhere who's been stuck at home and dreaming of adventure. Chapter 1. Elizabeth Navenby was known for three things: needlework, talking to the dead, and an ill temper at the best of times. These were not the best of times. Seasickness had taken rough shears to the edges of that temper, and being subjected to well-meaning jabber about the stateroom's furnishings and how the handkerchief-waving crowds lining the New York docks as the Lyric pulled away looked exactly like a flock of doves, didn't she agree? Had hardly helped. So Elizabeth had ordered the talkative Miss Blythe, who had truly disgusting amounts of energy for a girl her age, off to explore the ship. "Finally," said Elizabeth to the empty interior of the cabin, "I could do with some quiet." It was not truly quiet, but the buzz of the ship's engines was no more difficult to ignore than the normal noise of a Manhattan afternoon. And the stateroom's furnishings, now that she turned her attention to them, were adequately luxurious, if rather modern. Green glass lamps like mildewed snowdrops hung from the brass arms of the chandelier. The chairs were upholstered in a paler green. Dorian's cage sat upon a low bureau whose drawers had inlaid patterns of tulips with long, looping stems.
"I suppose you'd approve of that, Flora?" said Elizabeth. "You always did like your outdoors to decorate your indoors."
Another wave of nausea was joined by a dull ache, like something had taken her knee between blunt-toothed jaws. Elizabeth had serviceable dry land knees. They weren't used to exerting themselves to steady a body against the sea. She wobbled to sit in the nearest chair and cradled a warmth spell. The yellow light of it shimmered dimly, reflected in the polished wood of the bureau, then vanished as she applied the magic to her knee. Heat seeped into her bedeviled old joint.
"And I won't hear a word about how I should be using a stick," she said.
One of the senior stewards had descended simperingly upon them as soon as they set foot off the gangplank. She'd suspected him of wanting to make calf's eyes at Miss Blythe. But instead, he'd given Elizabeth some damned condescending twaddle about how difficult the crossing could be for the elderly and infirm, and how the White Star Line prided itself on its little comforts for the first-class passengers, and if she had any need of extra pillows, some warm broth or ginger tea to soothe her stomach, a walking stick. At which point, Elizabeth had called him an imposing busybody and strode past, leaving Miss Blythe making apologies in her wake. Pointless. Men would never learn to behave if you apologised to them.
"Infirm," she muttered now. "The cheek."
"Cheek," said Dorian.
Though it sounded more like cheat, which Elizabeth had taught him to say after she caught that boring old fart Hudson Renner trying to wear wooden rings at her poker table. There was no excuse for using illusions at a civilised gambling party, no matter how much of your fortune you'd frittered away on investments that anyone could have told you were foolhardy, bordering on idiotic. Elizabeth creaked to her feet. Her knee felt better. Her stomach did not.
"I simply didn't expect to be making voyages at this stage of my life. Though I will allow," grudgingly, "the last time I crossed the Atlantic, I remember the seasickness being even worse."
The last time had been in the other direction, when she and her husband left England behind in search of a different life in America. That ship had been far smaller, nothing like this enormous liner. Elizabeth snorted in reminiscence.
"Poor Ralph. He spent the first day rubbing my back and emptying basins before I was well enough to remember that I had packed one of Sarah's stomach-calming tonics and that dried chamomile from your garden."
Grief's jaws were not blunt of tooth. They snapped shut like a poacher's trap. Elizabeth stood with her hand clenched around her silver locket.